This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Since we got hijacked by the scouts, we'll continue to take your calls on whether it is cool or not cool to complain about the low gratuity left by someone else who is paying the bill.
Like, what do you do if it's like a real, maybe like borderline business meeting, like somebody's taking you out for a highfalutin dinner, and maybe you didn't Ooh. Automatically Ooh. Know that the person was a bad tipper, but you find out, or maybe they even comment to you about what they're tipping, and you find it so atrocious that you can't live with yourself. Do you? Because what happens then if there's a power dynamic, you're gonna look some sort of way if you go and add a tip.
Right, and it used to be easy in the days of cash. You could just go back and throw an extra 10, extra 5, extra 20 on the table, but now nobody has cash, so you'd have to go, hi, can you ring me up for a soda so I can leave you an acceptable gratuity? You just got to suck it up.
I think you got to just suck it up. I think it can be a bummer, especially for those that have a soft spot for the service industry, but I think if you allow someone to pay the bill, you have to pretty much, especially in those situations, just accept whatever they're tipping. I think that the dynamic where it happens most is probably older relatives, where you're just kind of in your parents, where you're kind of like, okay, you could. But then even then, go find a way to. Yeah. Like, I wouldn't mind doing that, and my parents are pretty good tippers. But if it came down to it and I felt that strongly about it, I would say, hey, charge me for a Coke, and I'll give you a little something extra.
What if you know the server? Like you're out to lunch with a prospective boss, like a job interview / lunch, and you know the server, and then you see that they left him like $10 on $120.
Yeah, that's going to be a problem.
727-579-1025.
So we touched on this a few weeks ago, and it was first starting to pop off, but now some Safety Harbor residents are speaking out. They held a little meeting last night voicing their opposition of loud music in the Safety Harbor downtown area and urging the city to take action. The issue of a noise ordinance wasn't specifically on the agenda for last night, but both sides came out to debate it. Two residents opposing live music were the only people to participate in the public comment portion. Both residents asked the commission to call an emergency meeting to address the issue before the current city manager retires and the Safety Harbor fire chief takes over as interim. Homeowners living close to the downtown bars and restaurants have mounted complaints over the loud music and live performances, and they're urging city commissioners to alter the rules. According to the Safety Harbor noise ordinance, it's unlawful to cause loud and raucous noise, and live music is prohibited between 11 p.m. and 7 a.m. But the residents are saying that's not the way that it's going down. They want it to actually be enforced. Is it okay or not okay in a downtown area, although it is quaint, to say no live music after 11 p.m.?
727-579-1025. This is a tough one because in Safety Harbor, it's not a huge sprawling city, and the downtown is rather small and quaint. You got live music after 11 p.m. Even on the weekends, you're keeping some people up at night.
Yeah, and they want, even during the times of music, when it's legit and it's okay to be played, they want a decibel ordinance or like a decibel limit to control how loud businesses can be during those set times, which my belief here, without knowing, and maybe we have some people in Safety Harbor area that are into it, I think you've got a couple loud people. I think you've got a couple old school Safety Harbor folks who have probably lived there, you know, back when it was nothing but, you know, burial grounds and all of that. And this is all over the past 5 years, fairly new to them, and they're freaking out. I think a lot of people probably seek out living in the Safety Harbor era because they like the vibrance. They like the idea that they're a couple blocks away from where live music is going on. I think when we talked about it, the lady did have some very specific, she used the decibel reader on her phone.
Yep.
And if those numbers were legit, it's probably too loud to have neighbors that close. But I bet you just got a couple Karens, for lack of a better term, that feel like they want to dictate the entire city's, you know, music situation.
I would rather see them start focusing on not killing any more bobcats or owls.
I don't know if that was covered in the meeting last night. I don't have the whole docket in front of me, but yes, I would say the fact we've got bobcats hanging from their arms from trees being killed by pesticides, like that's what I'm kicking off the meeting with.
727-579-1025. Drew Graba live with John Senning. Who are you?
This is John.
Hey, John. How you doing, man? Hey, John.
All right. So you were talking about leaving the extra tip?
Yeah.
Years ago, when my kids were little, my father-in-law used to take them out for lunch. And we always made sure our kids had extra money in their pocket because, you know, 45 cents is enough. Just leave it. And then my kids would put extra money on the table to cover the tip because my father-in-law didn't believe in tipping.
Oh. Yeah, see, we had the reverse situation up at Friendly's restaurant in Massachusetts where for the first 6 years of my life, I saw going out to eat as a unique money-making opportunity because people just left their money on the table. So I would come along as a little kid and just be like, oh, my God, look at all this extra money.
Oh
and
gosh.
Then somebody explained to me the concept of tipping, so I had to stop doing that. Thank you, sir.
I imagine that, like, it's better now than it was. Like, I can see, like, the early 90s being to mid-90s, like, that generation of not tipping or being bad tippers meeting with the cross-section of the new era of people that – are a little more thoughtful about it.
Yeah.
It seems now that if you're just tipping bad, like you're probably just a dick or you're too cheap to want to part ways with any of your money.
Right.
But I can imagine in the earlier days, you really had the old school people that were like, I'm not leaving this person any extra money.
I don't know how my parents tipped before I got into the service industry because I've been in the service industry since I was like 17, but I could see that being a thing.
Yeah.
Drew Gubba live with John Senning. Who are you?
I'm Anthony.
Hey, Anthony. How you doing, man?
Good. How are you? I was calling about the Safety Harbor music band.
What do you think? Okay or not okay to ban live music after 11 p.m.?
Yeah, I don't think it's okay. I think you move to an area like that. You know, I've lived in New York City, downtown Stamford, downtown St. Pete. You know what you're getting into.
Yeah.
And that's part of the scene. That's part of the vibe. And you should enjoy that and appreciate it. And, you know, deal with it.
Yeah,
you know, it's like those people that run Janus.
Yeah, I think that what we're witnessing is the old guard being pushed out. You know, I think that Safety Harbor is one of those areas that became what we know it as today fairly quickly. And probably even 10 years ago, some of these people were still living in a town that was quaint without a bunch of loud music. And now those people that will live there forever are getting kind of the rude awakening that you just spoke of, that they live in a city now.
They should cash out and get their money and move somewhere quieter then.
Not a bad idea. You said downtown Sanford, did you?
Yes.
Yeah, there was a time when I would have been like, yeah, what kind of hustling suburb could be downtown Sanford? But I went about a year or two ago, and I'll tell you, man, that is some scene down there, right?
Oh, they still do, I think it's a live at 5 every Thursday night. They got live music. They shut down the street right there in the Central Square of live music. You know, it used to be old 90s bands.
Yeah.
You know, it's a good time. And the people that live there, they appreciate it or they cash out because those places are worth more now than they were before that happened.
Yeah, that West End is awesome. Our buddy Dom from Supervillains does a lot of the booking there.
Yeah, it's a great spot. You know, when I go back up north, I miss it.
Hell yeah. 727-579-1025 and 800-771-1025. Drew Gubba live with John Senning. Who are you?
I'm Tom.
Tom, how you doing, man?
Very good, and you?
Awesome, thank you. What can we do you for?
Tommy
awesome,
boy.
Awesome. So normally when you go out to eat or you get delivered, you either are paying for, you know, the tip-wise, the experience or the conveniency as far as delivery goes. But as far as going out, it's more of an experience, like a waiter or waitress, you know, they're positive energy. They're there to help you, to help themselves as well, to help you. If you don't tip, the majority of people stop tipping, then those people are going to be like, you know what, I can't survive off this low wage, and they'll move on to something else. Whereas to the customer, the average customer will have to either wait longer or get crappier service. And with that, I don't want to hear people complain and be like, oh, you know what, they need to go find a better job, get more money. And then when you sit there and wait 3 hours for your delivery to come, then that's on, I mean, that's everybody not tipping. That's that. If you get a crappy waiter or waitress, that's because, I mean, you fish out all the good people and they move on elsewhere.
This guy's got some strong tipping opinions.
He does, and it is crazy to think that, would you not say, if we were looking at a graph of tipping and service, the tip quality and quantity has gone up while overall the service quality has gone down, which kind of goes against what that guy was saying, I guess. Wouldn't you say that people are tipping better and tipping more, like, as far as closer to 20% inside dining situations? But yet, I don't think it's too much of a reach to say that the quality of service has not gone up with the quality of tip.
It's not. And COVID or whatever pushed a lot of the professional servers out of the service industry, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it really did. And I think depending on where you live, you know, in Florida, we kind of, I think, found a way more than other places to stay open. And, you know, we're the first to be doing the takeout liquor and things like that for bartenders.
Yeah.
But I think across the country as a whole, a lot of people just got out of the service industry because you probably have a little bit of PTSD.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Just knowing that one day it can all be gone. And that goes from the business owners and everybody involved. I'm sure that era freaked people out from being in the business.
Imagine you're a hiring manager and you've got to, like, find people who have never waited tables before and they've got to, like, be your staff.
Yeah, I mean, everybody who waits tables at one point didn't wait tables, but I still think that it feels like, for the most part, when you're a hiring manager, you're interviewing a lot of people that have worked in restaurants and have service industry experience.
Good point. Drew Garber live with John Senning. Who are you?
Hey, Lil Spoon.
Hey, what's up, ZDB?
Hey, going on the noise ordinance, I'm going to say for Safety Harbor downtown, which isn't much of a vibe at all, it's okay.
There is kind of a vibe, though.
A vibe, but I also think what ZDB, you know, I don't think he's meaning to tarnish the good name of Safety Harbor. It's a mild vibe. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's not like we're having large rap shows or metal bands. Like, when we're talking about loud music, it's probably a dude playing Jimmy Buffett songs, you know, with his three-piece band at the beach bar. So I think that, like, when you look at it compared to other vibes or loud music experiences, I don't think it gets too crazy for those in Safety Harbor.
On the head, John.
Yeah.
Thank you.
What if you made it like no amplification? You could still have live music, but you couldn't have like an electric guitar or like.
Well, I mean, I just think it's going to be tough. Like, I mean, so then just only like an acoustic? I just don't even know. And then how does the guy sing? He's got no mic?
Oh, yeah. You need a mic.
Yeah.
So it's either not all or nothing, but.
I really do think how it ends is people getting pushed out. And that guy made a good point in that I guarantee if these people have lived there forever, they're sitting on a gold mine when it comes to selling that house. Like, if you live a couple blocks off the main strip in Safety Harbor and you still own your house, those people are probably primed, you know, to make hundreds of thousands of dollars. So at some point, I'm sorry, it sucks and you love it there, I'm sure, but make your money and go find the next quaint town that isn't built up yet.
727-579-1025, wherever that might be. Drew Garber live with John Senning. Who are you?
Hey, this is Mike.
Hi, Mike. How you doing?
Good. I hate to do this, John, but I can't disagree with you any more than what you just said.
Whoa.
So I would say, I mean, I love you guys, but, I mean, Safety Harbor, I lived in Clearwater for about 15 years. We would go to Safety Harbor for dinner and that kind of thing, and the vibe is very chill. And most of downtown is surrounded by homes where people have been there for a long time. So to say, like, these places all of a sudden that want to have live music and be loud should be able to, and the people that have lived there forever should just go someplace else. It's kind of, I don't know, because people aren't moving there because of the music. People have already been there, and the music is now coming there.
But you move there knowing that it has somewhat of a vibrant downtown scene.
Well, not if you lived there for 30 years.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, and I mean, if you think about it, over the last couple of years, or at least in the last 2 years, people really aren't moving into houses. No one can afford them. So I don't know. I mean, that the whole idea of people moving there for the music or the people that don't like it should move, I don't know. I mean, Safety Harbor doesn't have a St. Pete vibe at all to me.
It's sad, but I'd like to draw the comparison to the black bear in Florida, or maybe coyotes, in that we've gone into their space and they are being pushed out. So much like the black bears rolling the streets of Orlando and things like that, like, we built in their natural habitat. Yeah. And Safety Harbor is undeniably maybe different than it was 5 years ago, but it's on the rise, and it's only going to grow more, and there will only be more places that have live music and that type of vibe. So I'm not saying this as it brings me joy, like, get the hell out. I just think the city that the people move to, it might not be the same city anymore. So at some point, you've got to make the decision, do we want to live in this kind of city-feeling area where there's going to be live music and a lot going on, or do we wish to find a place that was more like Safety Harbor when we moved here?
True, and I think like downtown Dunedin is a good example of that, because I mean it has its place and it's coming up, but it had those people that moved by there. They kind of had the bars already that did have live music.
Right.
So I can see with Safety Harbor, it's kind of a huge change. But like you said, I mean, you know, that's what happens, and I guess you got to figure out if you want to stay. But
yeah,
Safety
if you
Harbor
move there,
feel like that vibe.
Right. But if you move there, and thank you, if you move there like 20 years ago and you were 55 and you're now 75.
Yeah.
And you've got live music
yeah.
when you're trying to sleep, that's
yeah.
going to be annoying AF.
I mean, I absolutely get it, but it is a, you know, it's a growth thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that the downtown area, from what I understand, is just, it's just growing. There's more businesses. There are more desirable businesses. There's more of a bar scene and things like that. And that comes with noise and people being louder later. And I don't know if you're looking at Safety Harbor from a money and a growth perspective, not saying that live music, that the whole city hinges on live music, but if you're liking that growth and you're saying, look, we're on a city on, you know, that's on the rise, are you going to put that toothpaste back in the tube in the name of not bothering some fuddy-duddies who don't want to hear loud music?
Right, because you're not building the city for their future. You're
yeah.
building the city for a future of
yeah.
young, upscale people who want to drop some coin there. Just tell Robin Zander to keep it down.
Yeah, that's the thing. I wonder how he feels about it.
I can't hear anything.
You got his number?
No.
Let's cold call him.
I don't. Drew Gabba live with John Senning. I don't.
You talking to me?
I am. Who are you?
Oh, hello. Carolyn.
Hi, Carolyn.
Hey, I just caught the very tail end of your previous conversation about tipping. Can
yes,
I just
ma'am.
Tell you a really quick story?
I love stories.
Okay. So the other night I was donating on a GoFundMe for someone that I know
okay.
for a good cause, of course. And GoFundMe actually tries to default
yeah.
to an 18%
yes.
tip.
That
Dude,
is insane.
I just saw that myself. That
yeah.
is
my
and I
gosh.
I had to read it like five times to even understand what I was looking
Same.
At.
Same.
It had a sliding rule, so I slid it right over to zero. I thought, screw you. You know, this isn't even a human, and they're already taking 10% of what's collected, from my understanding,
yeah.
and they try to get another 18% from me.
I know.
I just was appalled by that. So anyway, I just
yeah.
wanted to share.
That's a good one, and I'm normally not give money to a GoFundMe guy, but Dave, Finn
yeah,
Dave,
yeah,
needed
that,
help.
That's where I saw it, too, yeah.
And my girlfriend is trying to start a business where she buys respiratory equipment for kids trying to get out of the hospital, so I gave to that, and I remember both times it was like asking for a gratuity for GoFundMe. I'm like, get out of here.
And it's locked in.
I know. That's exactly my reaction. It was just bizarre. So
thank you.
Anyway.
That's the thing. It's locked in. It doesn't say, would you like to do this?
No.
The number that they give you initially, it has your tip added in, which is just insane.
Yeah.
I mean, especially most people that are donating to GoFundMe are doing it for somewhat of a good reason.
Yeah.
And to think that there is this underbelly of GoFundMe that's like, hey, by the way, throw 18% our way, you know, just
no,
for fun.
No way. Drew Gabba live with John Senning. Who are you?
I'm sure they're not hurting.
This is Devin. I had a quick, I had two statements. One,
statements.
I think our state has a stigma that servers are like uneducated. I had a roommate in college that was a maitre d' and had a 200 wine list, cigars, and everything else. It takes. And secondly,
what?
Safety Harbor needs to heed what happened to Cape Coral, and you guys need to get some youth on that city council or else you're going to be same as Cape Coral.
Oh, what happened in Cape Coral? We live a little bit north of there. We're not hip to what happened down there.
Well, I'm sure you heard that the Blue Hairs gave themselves a $80,000 raise.
Oh.
So right then Cape Coral was the highest paid public service.
Oh. All right. Well,
but
thank
we
you.
Went through, we went through all the noise ordinance and everything. Get some youth on that council, guys. Love the show.
Thank
oh,
you,
yeah.
man.
Oh, yeah. This was a thing. It's funny. Like, the verbiage of it is so near the Safety Harbor stuff. Residents of Cape Coral said they are having trouble sleeping on the weekends because of rowdy neighbors and loud music.
Oh.
Dude, Cape Coral is a weird place.
I've never been.
Dude,
it's built very interestingly,
well,
right?
So I wish I remembered all of the details, but it was like it's developed in a crazy way where
yeah.
it's every like everything is waterfront.
Yeah.
They made all of these man-made canals, from what I understand, so that they could have sell it as everybody gets waterfront property. And back in the day, they took people from up north and flew them over, and they let people drop sandbags on the property that they wanted. And if you read about it now, they claim that it's prime. You know, we saw a little bit of it, I think, with Ian, but they say with all of that water, it is a disaster waiting to happen. A lot of people had their houses flooded and stuff during Ian, but if the right storm came up into Cape Coral,
yeah.
all of those waterways, when you see an overhead shot of Cape Coral, it's shocking how much of it is water. It was kind of, I think, not a scam, but it was built as kind of a novelty that everybody had waterfront property, and that might come back to bite people one day.
I remember reading about that during Ian and then seeing yeah. some of the pictures of just how unique it is built. I've never been there. I've never been through there. I've never been anywhere near it, I don't think.
So we went a couple years ago. My mom and dad got an Airbnb there, and it was really nice. We had a pool that was like right over the water, and we could fish in the canal, and there were iguanas everywhere, which is just the craziest damn thing to me, to see iguanas yeah. just roaming free. It was nice, but because they made it that way, everything's like 30 minutes away. Because there's you've got to get around. There's not tons of bridges and stuff. So depending on where you want to go, you got to weave in and out of these canals and make it back to the main road. It's a very, very interesting place.
Tell me if this joke works. What do you get if you build Cape Coral below sea level? Ape Oral.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.